In the book of Luke, chapter 4, this is where Jesus is led out into the wilderness, okay? You remember that in the scripture? It says that he had fasted and he was led. He was filled with the Spirit, the Bible says, and he was led into the wilderness. And it's there where he faced some test in life. This is where a lot of times we talk about temptation, we talk about trials, we talk about testing. And I tell you what, if you want a successful relationship, you got to be willing to go through some wilderness seasons in life. All my married people can say amen to that one. You've got to be willing to walk through those times. They will come, but you don't have to be afraid of the wilderness. What you must be concerned about is whether you give up when you're in the middle of that wilderness and you quit. You know, there's so many things that we can gather from this. I remember an old TV show, so I'm going to date myself too. How many of you grew up watching Zorro? You remember Zorro? Yeah, Zorro. He was the first masked crusader, I think, maybe. And he would come, and I remember watching it a little bit as a kid, and it never failed that when there was a town, a small town that was in trouble, and somebody was bullying them or something was going on that way, Zorro would come and Zorro would do his thing, right? And he'd take care of business. But you know what he would do? He would prepare in private to take care of that which happened in public. There was always something that he was preparing in his life. And this is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus, in the book of Luke chapter 4, as we'll see in a moment, fasted for 40 days, prepared himself for the wilderness experience. And I asked myself the question, why did he fast? Well, he fasted because he was in a spiritual crisis. And so he gave up what he craved in the physical in order to get what it is that he needed in the spiritual. And the wilderness, by the way, is not a time to draw from God. It's a time to draw near to God. Now, I'm not saying that you stop drawing from him. I'm just saying this is a time when you're in a wilderness. If you're here today and you're going through a wilderness situation, this is the time when you draw near to God, because the nearer you get to him, the more you'll be able, the clearer it is you'll hear him, the more you'll be able to draw from him. So there are three tests in this passage that Jesus goes through, and he paves the way, because we will ultimately face these as well. In your bulletins, there's an outline if you'd like to follow along, and at the very top, there's two blanks there. Write these two words down. The first one is test, the second one is trial. A test is something that God allows you to go through in order to develop you. That's what a test is. But a temptation or a trial is something Satan uses in order to defeat you, and they often, many times, can be the same event. It can be the same wilderness that you're going through, but what makes the difference is, are you going to draw near to God, or are you going to lean in your own understanding? And that's what it boils down to. So Jesus is in this wilderness place, and these tests of God are there in order to help us know better how to navigate these seasons in our life, so that we can have success. You know, I love hearing from our married couples. What I found very humorous, to be honest with you, because this happens with everybody. When the question is asked, how did you fall in love or something deep like that? Both of them look at each other, don't they? And there's a little bit of a deer in the headlight look. Like, I know my version, what's yours? You know, and it can be a little different, but that's kind of what makes up relationships. And you will have struggles, but you see, here's the goal of the enemy when he gets you in that wilderness place. The goal of that season of the wilderness is to get you and me to operate independently from God. That's what he wants. He wants you to operate independently from God. Don't lean into God. You know, look to yourself, because that's what's going to be the best. You can count on you, is what the enemy would say. But I don't know if you can count on God. He'll do anything he can to trip you up and to test you. And the enemy will always present shortcuts. He will always present shortcuts. I remember my kids when they were in grade school, and they had learned to count, you know, whatever age that was when they learned to count. And they were coming across, I picked them up from school. I think we were both in the car, coming across the bridge. And Dre and Seth, if you got to know them, they love each other to death. They're the best of friends, but they also irritated one another to no ends, you know, like a good brother and sister do. And so I remember Drea saying, Seth, I bet I can count to 100 faster than you. And Seth had learned to be able to count to 100. Seth, if you know Seth, he's very determined. He'll accept the challenge, and you got to play. You got to follow the rules. And if you step outside of the bounds, we got to start all over, right? But Drea, on the other hand, is not that way. Drea just likes to poke the bear. That's what she likes to do. And so Seth started counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And Drea, without missing a beat, said, 1, 2, skip a few, 99, 100, and took a shortcut. And Seth said, it's not fair. You can't do that. That's cheating. And she got so mad. And what made him even more mad is as I was laughing so hard, I almost had to pull the car over. Because here's my daughter learning to take a shortcut. 1, 2, skip a few, 99, 100. And I thought, that's my girl. But then I thought, but that's a shortcut. And I tell you, there's going to be many times in life when you're going to be tempted to say 1, 2, skip a few. You want to skip the wilderness. You don't want to go through all of that. I don't think there's a person here today that doesn't want to skip some of those wilderness situations in their life. But they're there for a reason. There's tests, and there's things that we can learn. So test number one is this. The first test is to be your own need meter. Write that down. The first test is to be your own need meter. Here's what verse 3 says. It says, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Right? So this is the first test he gave to Jesus. Since you're the Son of God, he said, turn these stones to bread. Why would Satan offer that? Well, the simple answer is this. Jesus was hungry. He had fasted 40 days. The enemy knew exactly how to kind of poke the bear once again, if I can use that analogy. Satan was aware of Jesus' need, and he had a shortcut that he could give to him. He said, if you're the Son of God, just go ahead, turn these stones into bread. Satan's being very practical here. He says, you've got a way to meet your own need, and you have the ability to pull it off. Therefore, turn these stones into some light, fluffy croissants, and we can have a nice meal together. He tries to create a shortcut. What is Satan up to? He's trying to get Jesus to meet his own need in an illegitimate way, apart from what God had set in front of him. It's the same thing Satan wants you and I to do. Act independently from God by using our own resources to meet our own needs, even when the need is legitimate. Even when it's legitimate. Jesus' response was this. Remember in the Bible, he said, man shall not what? Live by bread alone. Good. He used the word. He responded by leaning into God, and he used the word of God. So if the living word needed to use the written word in order to deal with the enemy, then how much more do you and I, who have written no words, need to use the same word to deal with the enemy in our life? We need to be able to lean into that, because here's what the world, or at least what the enemy, is going to offer. Be your own need meter. You don't need it. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a need that we have for relationship. But I'm talking about ultimately when you're trying to figure out life and purpose and direction, salvation, redemption, whatever it is, you lean into God. When you're going through the wilderness, you lean into God. You can get wise counsel from wise people, but you never stop leaning into God. So the first test was to be your own need meter. Test number two, write this down. And today's going to be pretty short because we wanted to just celebrate families today. But here's the second test. Be your own provider. There's going to be this test that will be there to be your own provider. In verses 5 through 7, it says that the devil took Jesus and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. In a moment of time, he said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. Here's the catch. If you will then worship me, it will all be yours. That's what he said. Now, I don't have time to get into it all, but sometimes people say, how can the devil give back everything to God? Because the first people he gave it to, Adam and Eve, gave it away. Gave away the promised land, gave away paradise. So it's his to give. But he says to Jesus, but if you will worship me, I'll give it back to you. I'll give it back to you. Look at the phrase there in that scripture. It says that the devil led him. The devil led him. The devil seems to be doing an awful lot of leading here for someone who's filled with the Spirit. It appears that way. So if we are filled with the Spirit and the devil looks like he's running the show, the devil is only running the show because the Spirit of God has okayed the show that he's running. All right? And if the Spirit of God has okayed the show that he is running, it's because God, while you and I are filled with his Spirit, he wants to use the devil running the show to develop you in the middle of that wilderness or that situation you're going through, whatever that is. You see, he offered him everything, all this authority, it can be yours. In a moment, the Bible says, in a moment, Satan shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. He showed him the Colosseums of Rome. He showed him the magnificence of Athens. He showed him the wonders of the Sphinx in Egypt. He even showed him Dallas Cowboys Stadium. Maybe. And he said, all you have to do is worship me and all of this can be yours. Worship, by the way, is whatever you look to. It's whatever you look to. That's what you worship. Now, I know it's easy to say, I worship God. My question is just simply this. Do you really? And you have to think about that one. Because I'm just going to be honest with you. There's times where I love Jesus. I'm not unsaved. It's just sometimes he has to recalibrate and say, Jim, are you really worshiping me? Because every time this situation comes up, that's where you go. And I have to go, oh, and I catch it. And then you recalibrate it because I want in the wilderness to make sure that I'm focusing on him. Because whatever you look to, that's what you worship. Worship is more than just singing songs and saying amen to a sermon. Worship has to do with what you look to address the matter in your life that you're going through. Psalms chapter 2, verse 8 says this. It says that God, his father, Jesus' father, promised all the kingdoms of the earth will be yours. He said to Jesus, they will all be yours. So we know that Father God's already going to give it to Jesus, but Satan is saying the same thing to him in these tests. He's just adding one extra word. He says, if you will worship me, I will turn all of these kingdoms over to you, and I will do it now. I will do it now. For Jesus to get what God has for him legitimately, he had to wait. Anybody here like to wait? When you want what you want, you like to wait. Nobody likes to wait. But in order for Jesus to get it legitimately, he had to wait. For Satan to offer it, he could have it right now. And Satan has gotten a lot of us with the right now, hasn't he? If we were just completely honest. The question is are you going to do it God's way, or are you going to do it the way the enemy is trying to lure you away? And that will determine what you're worshiping, who you listen to, what you look at. So the challenge is always going to be out there. The challenge will be to be your own need meter. The other challenge will be to be your own provider. And then the third challenge, or the test number three, as I put it in the outline, is to be your own protector. This is a test that the enemy brought to Jesus. He said in verses 9 through 11 that he took him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. God is just letting the devil lead Jesus everywhere, isn't he? It seems like. Well, why would he do that? Because God knew something bigger that was going on. God was developing something in the life of Jesus while he walked here. And when you're going through the wilderness and it feels like the enemy's running the show, and it feels like the harder you try, the worse it gets, when it feels like you just want to, I just want to sigh, I take a deep breath, I just want some joy in my life, but every time I do, something just screws it up. And it seems like the enemy's calling the shots. When you're leaning into God and you're full of his spirit, you can trust in the fact that God is developing something inside of you. But the enemy is going to try to get you to be your own protector, come up with your own answers. So if you've ever or are currently feeling like, God, why does it appear like I'm being smashed to pieces? If you're full of his spirit, you're obeying him, then he's got one answer, and it's simply, I'm developing you. The devil was constantly trying to get Jesus to act independently from God the Father. And he does the same with each of us every day. Because if you and I act independently from God, then guess what? Our boat won't float, all right? Things won't work. It won't happen, and we need to understand that. So the enemy says to Jesus, he tries to get him with these tests as well. Jesus, why don't you just be your own protector? He's saying, Jesus, why don't we just let everybody know that you're the king? You can declare yourself by doing this little trick, you know, do some razzle-dazzle kind of a thing. Throw yourself off the building and everyone will know that you're the Messiah. That was the test that was there. He says, when you fly off this roof, your angels, the Bible says, are going to grab you up and they're going to ease you down, and everybody is going to know that you are the Messiah. They're not going to question it. They're going to know. that you're the Messiah. The enemy goes on and says, in fact, Jesus, if you do this, then you're not going to have to worry about the cross. See, you're heading towards the cross, but you don't have to do that if you just do this. Do you see the pull that's there, the temptation that's there, the test that's there to try to get you from acting upon trusting in God and more focusing on trusting yourself and trusting others? What is the enemy offering him? Well, he's offering him significance apart from God. That's what he's trying to do. Satan says, you're going to be front page news. People will read this and they'll say, they'll read, Messiah leaps from temple and lives to tell. Everybody will know who you are. In other words, Jesus, if you'll just do this, I will make you successful. These are the same tests that the enemy gives us. Maybe you're here today and you've been wrestling around and struggling with the fact that it doesn't matter what age you're at, by the way, or what season you're at in life. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy, not just between the ages of 35 and 45. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy everybody because we're all children of God. Amen? And he wants to discourage your hearts. And one of the ways he'll do it to keep you from having any kind of success in relationship or in life is going to be by trying to get you separated from God. I don't know if there's anybody here that has ever watched it. We'll see if you're willing to admit to it. Anyone here ever watched pro wrestling? Okay. I grew up on wrestling. In my days, the wrestling's, it was all about Monday Night Raw, The Rock. You had Kurt Angle, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold Steve Austin. But I remember back in the 80s, it was Hulk Hogan, Baron Von Raschke, you had Nikolai Volkoff and all these wrestlers. And as a kid, I always thought it was real. I thought, I wonder who's going to win today. And I hope you notice this, by the way. In case you don't know this, those are staged performances. But as a kid, I didn't know that. I thought it was real. I hope I didn't ruin that for anybody, but they're staged performances. The winner's already been selected. In a back room, they get together and they've decided who is going to be the winner. So it's been predetermined who the victor is. But determining the winner in advance doesn't cancel the bout. No. Because they've got to go out there and they've got to fill an arena. And they have to entertain some people. And they have got to get their profit for the entertainment. So what they do is they select the winner. They put on the show in order to tell the audience how the victor became victorious. Then once he's selected to win, whoever's been selected doesn't get all shook up when all of a sudden they're in a headlock. They don't get all shook up because they know I'm the winner. When the person that's been selected to be the winner all of a sudden ends up getting pile-driven into the ground, it may hurt if not done properly, but he knows that he has been the one that has been selected to be the victor. That person may have been thrown up against the ropes and clotheslined, but it's okay. He's not losing sleep over it. You know why? Because it was already predetermined. He was selected to be the one who wins. The one who's been selected to win may even have a little bit of blood coming down his face, but no worries. Because just in the nick of time, you wonder how this guy is gonna beat this system, this wilderness, and all of a sudden he finds strength to overcome his opponent. Because he understood before he ever showed up that victory was already given to him. The Bible says that you and I, we are more than a conqueror. Amen? Okay, the Bible says that you are already, before you even thought about the problem you're thinking about, and before you ever realized you were in a wilderness, he has already declared that you are a conqueror in Jesus Christ. And even though God may let the devil body slam you here or pile drive you there, beat you up just a little bit, you may fall on the ropes a little bit, you may even have a little bit of blood that trickles out of the face at times, you don't have to lose any sleep. You're going to discover greater is he that's within you than anything else in this world. There's victory in Jesus, and you, every one of you, have already been declared the winner based on the word of God. If you're full of the Spirit and utilizing his word, you will be victorious. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Pastor, I'm going through a difficulty in my relationship. Yeah, I bet you, I understand. That's life. We go through difficulties. Don't give up. Yeah, I have an issue that's going on at work. Don't give up. I'm really struggling with myself in how I feel and how I think. Don't give up. And do not define who you are based upon the world, based upon the wilderness, but based upon the Word. Because that's what makes all the difference in the world. Amen. Father, I pray today that as we leave this place, we thank you for relationships. For Lord, that's why you came. You didn't come and die just so that you could had nothing better to do. You died for relationships. And Lord, you want nothing more than us to succeed in this area of relationship. So when it struggles, Lord, I pray that you'd fill us with grace, that you'd fill us with mercy. For each and every person that's here today, that Lord God, they would see the best is yet to come. But Lord, we start by choosing to lean into you and not listening to the world, because it's then that we know we'll be successful. In Jesus' name, amen, church.